Last night, the Northfield City Council met, and that means this morning we have Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and also City Administrator Ben Martin joining us.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Great.
Good. Thank you so much for coming in today, as you always do on Wednesday after the council meeting. Just one more council meeting left, and the possibility of a second one, is that where we're at?
No.
Is it just
one? Yes, we have one more official city council meeting December 7th, where we will hopefully finish up really the major business of the year. Possibly might be another one, but that's still to be determined yet.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like you guys gathering together. You're so much fun. Having you in here is so much fun. But let's talk about last night's council meeting. First of all, you got a presentation, budget presentation from the CVB, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. What did you learn on that?
Yeah, so it was really great to have Lisa Peterson in there. She's the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and the city contracts with the chamber to do really carry out our tourism work and to utilize the 3% lodging tax that we basically tax everyone that has a room at one of our hotels. There are 259 rooms within the city of Northfield that people can stay in when they come to visit our community. 3% of the lodging tax is collected from those proceeds from, I want to say renting. Gosh, that is just not the right word.
Renting a hotel room. Sure, we'll go with that.
All right.
You know, did they... I'm sure 2020 was greatly affected.
Yes.
Travel was greatly affected, and that means less tax dollars in there. 2021 was a little bit better.
Yeah, so Lisa was showing us some different comparisons over the past years, which is actually really helpful for both us, as I'm sure it is them. I think in one of the previous years before we went into the lockdown, I think they collected somewhere in the range of $150,000. In terms of the lodging tax, which then they can utilize to really market our community as a tourism destination. Now, during the lockdown, I think it was almost cut in half. It was maybe in the 70,000 range for 2020, and I think they're anticipating, or they put together a budget that was at or around that amount for 2022, just really budgeting conservatively. But she did share that in the past 3 months or something like that, that things have been starting to pick back up again and people are coming, they're visiting our community, and anybody that's, you can start to see more of that sort of normal activity, people getting out and wanting to go spend a day or a weekend with their family. And Northfield is a fantastic destination. We have a great story to tell for that. And Lisa with CVB is really doing that on our behalf as a city, making sure that when people are considering where they would like to go, that they're choosing Northfield.
I think we've seen that. Tourism has certainly in the last 20 years, the 21st century, it has kind of exploded. There used to not be much going on most of the weekends in the summer or winter, but now there are. We got a lot of things happening for us. Let's move on. Let's go into the regular agenda now. The talker last night was about quasi-judicial decisions and ex parte communication, legal considerations, and related policy options. Boy, that's clear as mud. What does that mean?
I don't know. What does it mean, Jeff?
I didn't sit through the meeting last night. Should we give Chris Hood a call?
Yeah. I think it was, this was really an first opportunity that the council has had to have really some back and forth on a memo that our city attorney prepared for us. And it really affects it not only affects the council, but it affects two of our boards and commissions as well, the HPC and our Heritage Preservation Commission. Don't use acronyms, right? Heritage Preservation Commission and our Planning Commission. And our Planning Commission probably even more so on a regular basis than the City Council or the Heritage Preservation Commission. And it really just giving some guidance or things to consider or where some concerns might arise that people that are serving in those capacities on those three, Council Planning Commission or Heritage Preservation Commission, when we are considering things that are more quasi-judicial, and that would be a conditional use permit, preliminary plat, or certificate of appropriateness for the HPC. When we are considering some of those items that are more around that nature, we really need to be careful that we are following some of the guidelines that have been out there in state statute, as well as through different, lawsuits or complaints that have been filed in other cities where people have gotten into trouble because they cross the line into advocacy as a board member or a council member, or trying to overly influence folks, or receiving information that would actually be put them in a position where they would could potentially become biased. And really, the quasi-judicial memo was to give some guidance, things for us to consider. And last night, I think it was just really helpful. There, it's not clear all the time. There's a level of subjectivity, but Chris Hood, our city attorney, really tried to be present, right? Give us some background information, allow some question and answer, and I think there'll be more coming on that in the future as well.
All right. Ben, I'll ask you this one. I'm going to throw this one out there at you. What in the world does ex parte mean? Is that Greek, Latin? You're the smartest guy in the room here, Ben.
Right,
you
it's a word that's it's a word that's derived from. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any idea. That'd be a good one for the knowledge bee people that, that do that probably. We didn't get into that, but generally, I think is the ex parte communications mainly means when there's contacts, whether it's written or spoken. Mm-hmm. Which occur outside of the meeting or the process, seeking to influence the decision-making body or individual members regarding a decision before that body. So the problem with it could give the appearance, real or imagined, that the decision might be one-sided or biased and impact the due process. That's this process is, for the council in particular, is very different from most of what they do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an applicant's applying for something. You have to apply legal standards and according to our code to that. So they're acting a little bit more like a judge and really need to be unbiased and uninfluenced by outside forces with that. And like the mayor said, we got into a lot of discussion last night. There were examples given to the attorney, and he's like, no, that one's probably good. You're good there. Ultimately, it really is up to the individual to make those mm-hmm. individual decisions on it, even though there could be some liability ultimately if there are some issues with it. But so as an example, not all communications are ex parte. Encouraging to attend meetings, communications between staff and agencies. Staff really aren't decision-making individuals. So there's no issues there. There can be, though, cases where Minneapolis was an example where they're like a council person had taken an actual position before the application had even been filed, or others where they had tried to convince other members of the body to take action of some kind on the decision, trying to influence that. Those are clearly an issue. So that's kind of a little bit more of kind of what that means to be ex parte. It just means like you're in communications with, okay. with people who are trying to influence.
Now, this, I really hadn't heard of the term quasi-judicial up until, pardon me, just this autumn, this fall. And now we have some questions about the quasi-judicial thing. So this would lead me to believe that there has been an incident potentially of this happening within the city. Has there been something going on here? Has somebody been talking outside of school?
I think this is just more of an educational piece. Some of the questions have come up and some guidance given. So then, of course, I go, well, this is a legal issue. I need our attorney to give an opinion, and we get a five-page legal memo kind of explaining it because it's not a simple issue. We don't have a policy on it currently, so that's part of it, too, is just educating. So there's not been any concern that something's been violated directly. I think, in some of the recent cases like Craywood, there was definitely a lot of interest and engagement, and that probably led to trying to educate to like, okay, wait a minute, there's a little bit of boundaries here on how much you can you know, what types of things you can be involved in related to communications outside of the actual council room where there's decisions being made. Planning commission deals with this a lot more, but we don't have a policy. There's not much reference even in our code to it. There's a little bit. The planning commission has some limited language related to policy in their bylaws, but it is not a unique thing. It's one of those that, We definitely need to probably look at training long term, and also the council I think had some interest to be exploring a policy development related to this issue as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we need to have more language in some of our rules of conduct and operation within the committees and commissions and mm-hmm. such?
Yeah, Jeff, and honestly, I mean, you mentioned that haven't really heard much about it. Well, if I go back to my 12 years on the council, well, there hasn't been a whole lot of development in the city either, or a lot of reason why this might have come up, but we're starting to see more of that. And you're starting to see city administrators who've been here longer, staff been here. Well, we've had a lot of longevity in our regular staff, but on the council as well. And so we're finding some instances, right, where we really need to improve. And training on our boards and commissions is something that we have not done on a regular basis. And again, just getting some clarity around processes, policies, so that we're all on the same page, all of the boards and commissions, staff, council, so that we can really do a better job for our community. And this is certainly one of them.
All right. Mayor Pownell is with us, along with City Administrator Martin. The final item on the agenda, regular agenda, was the review of the draft budget information for next year, 2022 and 23, and also grants review. What did that entail?
We had just a little bit of carryover from the last meeting related to capital improvement planning around parks discussion. And so we did a little shifting based on the council's interest to look at improving a couple of bathrooms, particularly at Lions Riverside Park, Babcock Park softball field, and then potentially Seckler Park. And so our engineer took a look at that issue with his staff and came back with a recommendation that they really do a design work for that, for the remodeling, kind of prepare the plans and specifications with a intention to bid for 2023 construction. There's maybe a chance that one of those could maybe slide up sooner. We're also looking at some community development block grant funds potentially that you can't carry over from year, or you can't spend in advance. So that'd give a couple years for some dollars to spend up that really comes from the federal government through the state down to us. So that was the main discussion. The council felt that was what they had discussed and were comfortable. Probably the other thing, just gearing up, we didn't really get into a discussion last night, but our property tax notices went out to the public, probably are in the mail here soon. And so that they'll get notice of the hearing that's coming up at that last meeting in December related to that. So I guess stay tuned to that. We do have information on our website. If there are questions, sometimes historically, a lot of the questions that we had got revolve around valuation. If there are any questions on valuation, those really go to the county assessor's department. Rice County and Dakota County handle that, depending on where you live. So if there are questions on that issue, that there's separate hearing dates for that. But certainly, the city, the county, and the school district will be holding hearings relating to the proposed property tax statements that went out in the mail as well. So we didn't really get into that last night, but just an awareness on that issue.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, just a word of advice. Take a look at that tax, the whole tax statement you have. As you'd mentioned, there's at least three different groups within, for residential, four for business. But go to the right hearing. Go talk to the people who you're concerned about. As you had mentioned, go to the assessor if you've got concerns about that. If it's the county, go to the mm-hmm. county. It's not all. I think a lot of people just kind of lump the city in. That's where my taxes are because this mm-hmm. is where I live. But you actually live in several different districts as
yes.
well.
On that yeah. note, too, Jeff, it hasn't happened to me a lot lately, but it has happened before where people show up at the wrong one, and it's really frustrating to them because yeah. people are busy. If you look on the itemized statement, if you follow the rows across, the city has their own tax hearing. So if you look at the city's portion of your taxes and have questions or want to come to that hearing, that's where you come to the city council chambers at that first meeting in December, like you said. So it's pretty easy to follow, but you got to pay a little close attention to it because they're not all the same date, like you said.
Lastly, let's take a preview for December the 7th, your final meeting of the year. At that time, you'll, in theory, I guess, at this point, approve both a tax levy and the 2020 budget. Between now and then, what's going to be going on? Is there a lot of little details to work on? Is it pretty well set?
Specifically around the budget and levy, I guess, preparing the information and background related to it probably is most of it. Ultimately, the council, as we've talked about before, those tax statements were based on an initial increase, you know, maximum of 15% increase is what the city's portion was planned to go up for the taxes. The council's given direction that they've lowered that down by about 3.4% as direction for the hearing, so it's about 11% increase, a little more than that. However, they can go anywhere as long as they're lower than that preliminary maximum. They can go lower than that. I don't anticipate the council will be going higher. There could be some adjustments from them as well, though, in the final amount. But ultimately, it's just kind of preparing the public information and kind of, like you said, fine-tuning things just to make it clear and for the public to digest in the information.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention? That's it. All right. Thank you so much for coming in today. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again on December the 8th and probably sometime before that, I would imagine. All right. Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martig. We've got Rich standing by, local news in just a couple of minutes. Tim McNiff, news and a side of sports, just a few. MNN is next.